Would you build a house without a foundation? Would you have a child and not name it? Would you let a stranger squat on your property? No, of course not. So why should the internet be any different? Every week, speak with top domain experts. Learn how to make money with domains. Know your legal rights. Each week, join our expert host to be master of your domain. Right here on Domain Masters.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another week of Domain Masters, live from Monty's bedroom. I'm still confined to my bed due to my back injury, so I'm doing the show live from bed again. I got a great show lineup, though. Tonight, I'm interviewing Pierre Zarconium, who is the founder and president of Submit Express. We're going to have him on first. Submit Express is one of the most successful SEO submission companies, and Moniker is going to be doing some business with them. And Pierre owns a lot of domain names, and his company has been very successful with that. And then we're going to have on Raymond Rashford and Michael Marshall from GIE. Both of which are part of an organization that is part venture capital, part web development company. They specialize in turning around small businesses that appear to be going south and turn around and get them to go north and be very successful and profitable. And they have a very successful domain acquisition strategy where one of the biggest priorities for them is to go out and get some get domain names and build the online branding strategy, including SEO, for domain names. So hang on for a couple commercials. We'll pay some bills and be back on with Pierre. Thanks.
You're just minutes away from more Domain Masters.
The master of your domain.
Stay tuned.
Raising your ad inventory profits to the next level today is as simple as XY7.com, the only affiliate network giving you top payouts daily. Plus, you'll enjoy over 100 fresh high-converting offers, your own XY7.com debit card, good anywhere, and true 24/7 dedicated support. Our affiliate managers even sleep with their BlackBerries. So why run your ads anywhere else? Let your site work harder for you today with XY7.com, so you won't have to.
Listen up. Ecom Expo, the virtual trade show for search, affiliate, and interactive marketers, is now completely free for all attendees. Imagine all the benefits of a top trade show coming to a PC near you, April 4th through the 6th. More than 7,000 of your peers will be there, making it the largest trade show for e-commerce marketers in the world. The entire event is 100% online, virtual, and free. So register today at www.ecomexpo.com.
Once a tool used exclusively for communicating with the media, PR Web was the first company to develop a distribution strategy around direct-to-consumer communication by implementing Web 2.0 technologies. PR Web has completed the online communication loop by directly engaging your audience with your news. For example, PR Web is the first newswire to integrate press release trackback. Whether you want to dominate your market or just make a little noise, PR Web is here to help you thrive in the marketplace and the media. PR Web.
Domain Masters. Now, here's your host.
Hello, welcome back to Domain Masters. I'm Monty Khan, your host. My first guest is Pierre Zarconium. He's the founder and president of Submit Express. He's got a computer science background and web development background. Pierre launched Submit Express in 1998 and has quickly become one of the most popular search engine submission sites on the web. Today, Submit Express specializes in natural SEO services. Submit Express website offers free SEO tools, search engine, news, and SEO forums. Pierre, welcome to the show.
Hi, Monty. How are you?
I'm doing great. A little laid out horizontal, but hopefully in a couple weeks I'll be up on my feet.
Yeah, I heard about your back. Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, look, I'm pushing myself a little bit too much, so somebody's trying to tell me something. So I got a six-week recovery period for my back to get better, and I'll be right back at it.
Wow.
No pun intended. So obviously you and I have bumped into each other now for the last year and a half on various trade shows, and I'm glad that we're finally having you not only on our show, but finally going to be doing business with you guys. You guys have been extremely successful on the web, and would like to learn a little bit more about your business, and thought maybe it'd be a good idea if you can give the listening audience a little bit more about your background, how you got started on the internet, and particularly when you started investing in domain names.
Okay, well, we started a company in 98 and quickly became one of the most popular search engine submission sites, and you know, naturally moved into optimization services from there, and we are still one of the most popular sites, ranked at number one for search engine optimization, search engine marketing, and related keywords in Google. So I'm sure
great.
A lot of people have heard of us before.
Great. And when did you get started? When did you personally get started, like in the internet? Is this your first gig? Or did
I started around 94, going to school, computer science major, and just start registering some domains as early as 94.
Yeah. And how many domain names do you guys currently have, or do you own personally, or combined?
Currently, we own over 1,000 domains, and we got into it as far as creating content and creating sites that we could use to put our clients on as for advertising and creating links for our clients. And, you know, I'm sure most SEO companies out there do that kind of stuff out there, and if they say they don't, they probably do. But, you know, any SEO company is not using their own network of sites for links, they're missing out big time.
So with all those sites or with all those domain names, does owning multiple domain names create any kind of issues or problems that you can see?
The problem would be if you use duplicate content on them. So if somebody is using domains, multiple domains for the same site and using them as doorway pages to their site, that's something they should be careful of doing because that's against Google and most search engine policies. So we don't do any of that stuff, but what, you know, you have to be careful how you do it. You know, you got to have unique content on each website. Don't put any redirects and, you know, just have some information type sites that people can really use. And don't look at it as a way of increasing your links for your other sites, but actually creating content on these websites that are useful information. And then maybe throwing some links to your other sites, which then would be okay.
Now, a lot of people, you know, look at creating content in different ways. What are some of the techniques that you guys do or that you can help others that are listening? What's the easiest way to create content? I mean, do you have to physically get on and start writing unique content, or can you get help from tools or from other help, you know, other companies on the web?
Right. Well, I mean, writing unique content is not easy. You don't want to be going to some other sites and copy their content. That does no good. Google has duplicate content filters, so basically what that means is whoever came up with the content first and has the most number of links, they're probably going to get that benefit. They're going to end up ranking well for that page, and your duplicated content is going to get filtered out. So there are a lot of people out there still doing that kind of stuff, but that does no good. They have software like scraper-type websites that you've probably seen out there that steal content from various sites and combine them together to basically fool the search engines into thinking they're content, but that kind of stuff gets caught nowadays. It doesn't work. What you want to do is actually write unique content, hire some content writers. We have a couple of content writers in-house in our staff that we use for our content. And there are a lot of other companies out there that specialize in content writing. You can outsource work to. You can probably outsource overseas for cheaper. So that's what I would recommend.
Oh, okay, great. Now, tell us a little bit about expired domain names and the value that they play in the SEO world from your perspective. How do they increase link popularity, and what kind of expired name market playing should one do if you want to, you know, get ranked up in the search engines?
Expired domain names used to work very well if they had links, especially if they had links on PageRank. But about a year and a half or so ago, Google started zeroing the page rank of expired domains. So they don't have as much value anymore, especially in Google. They still will help you in MSN and Yahoo, but in Google, that is not working as effective as it used to, especially with the .com, .net, and .org, the main domains. Those are the ones Google are mainly checking. If you find any domains in foreign TLDs that are expired and have ranks, those are probably not going to get caught by Google. So I would recommend, if you can find any ways of finding such domains, those are probably the best ones to get. But currently, most of the software out there that looks for such expired domains are not tracking any kind of foreign TLDs, as far as I know.
Now, obviously, Google's not the only engine out there. We have a couple other engines. Now, how is right. Yahoo and MSN also looking for the same types of expired name alarms? Then
I have
Google
not heard
is,
anything.
How do they
Yahoo and MSN are looking at this, but I may be wrong on that.
And what about MSN?
Yeah, I have not heard anything about MSN looking at this stuff either. So they still work much better in Yahoo and MSN. And, you know, my recommendation is if a domain out there has hundreds of links, and it might be worth just getting it for the traffic, you know, just that would be an additional traffic source for you. If it's a related domain to your industry, just get it for the traffic, and hopefully it will give you some additional links for Yahoo and MSN.
Okay. And then how do you go about, you know, a lot of people use different tools and stuff, but how do you go about checking an expired domain name to make sure that it does have existing links or even PageRank? What are some of the tools that you can use that maybe some people don't know about? But since you're an SEO company, perhaps you use some more sophisticated stuff, or you can give some people some insight on the best tools to use to check.
There are a lot of tools out there nowadays that will automatically check the PageRank and number of links in bulk. There are various tools out there, but even using tools, it's not 100% accurate. You still got to do some more manual legwork, and that's the best way of finding the best domains. You know, I mean, I used to register a lot of expired domains, staying up late night and just 4 hours a night, just going through list of domain names that I would be interested based on their keywords, running them through tools to find their page rank and their backlinks. And I would pick maybe daily, I would pick about 10 top domains that I would come up, and then manually check their backlinks to see.
How do you manually check them?
In Google, you just type the link command, which is link colon www.domainname.com, and Yahoo and MSN have similar commands. In Google, you have one problem. When you check the backlinks, they don't necessarily bring every single link. They're showing you only the most popular links. Usually, they're links from PageRank 3 or above pages. Yahoo is probably the best place to check the backlinks. And again, you use the link command in Yahoo to check it. And what you want to check
for
is go through some of these websites. Make sure the links that are coming in are actually there on the websites, because nowadays we have a problem with domain hijacking, the 302 redirects, which steal PageRank and backlinks. So you want to make sure the links are actually on the pages. And also check the sites and maybe look up their whois information, the sites that are linking. Make sure they're not all owned by one person. Because what might happen is, say you have 50 links to it, and all these 50 links or majority of them are owned by one person, and the guy maybe just missed renewing one of his domain names. But once he realizes that he missed the renewal, he's going to remove the link from 50 sites all at the same time. And then that domain is not going to have any value anymore. So that's why some manual work is necessary when you're looking for expired domains.
Okay, and what is the link command that you check in Yahoo, just so that people know?
In Yahoo is link colon http colon / www.domainname.com. So you just got to put the HTTP part in Yahoo. In Google, you don't put that.
Okay, good. That'll help people out. Now, what about so are you heavy into the still buying names that are expired on the expired?
Not as heavy as I used to be because Google is zeroing the page ranks nowadays. And I do have a recommendation of some places that you can buy expired domains, and also list of expired domains. The four biggest websites for this right now would be pool.com, namewinner.com, snapnames, and GoDaddy. And Pool and Namewinner usually release about to expire domain names on a daily basis. So if you go through those expired domain lists, and if you buy some software tools out there to check the backlinks, those are probably the best way to grab these domains. And Pool and Namewinner, snapnames, they're what are known as back order services. And basically what it does is as soon as the domain is released, they try to register these domains for you through various registrars. And you know, if you wait for a domain to get released and try to manually register it, you probably have no luck competing with this company. So these are probably the best places to go and get the best domains. And usually if more than one person is bidding on these domain names, it's going to go in an auction. So you can expect to pay a good premium for good domain names.
Now, let me ask you another question. Can you check backlinks in MSN?
Yes, you could do in MSN. I think in the MSN is also link call on www.domainname.com.
Okay, make sure you post those three different ways into the chat room if you can, because people are asking.
Sure.
Now, what about buying domain names that are not expired, but like on the open market? Do you do that frequently?
That's a better idea, because now you're buying existing domains that may have links and page rank, and they also may have content on them. So there's various places you can look. eBay is a good place, and several of the domain name related websites have forums. DNjournal.com is a good place, and you know, you can look for existing sites. And I've seen these domains, existing sites with a page rank 3, sell for well over $300, or PageRank 5 well over $500. So that's a good idea too. And when you're buying sites like that, you want to also consider into factor how long time it's going to take you if you are going to create similar content for the website. You know, just creating a site from scratch might cost you $500. So you know, paying $500 for a PageRank 5 domain, that's not a bad deal.
Right, because you're going to have to write the content to keep that page rank up if you're going to change the content at all, right?
Right.
Okay, so now when you go from buying a domain name that has existing content and has an existing page rank and good backlinks, and you are going to make the change onto your own, you're going to change DNS and you're going to put them up on your own service, what is the backlog and what actually happens between Google and the search engines? What kind of a delay is there, and how long does it take them to remap your site with the bots to make sure that you're still a valuable site with good content?
Right. Well, actually, Google in one of their filings about their trademark and patent stuff, they had some information about how they're going to be looking at domain registrar changes and new ownership and consider that into a factor. I don't know how much of that is actually being used these days, but that might be something that you should be concerned about, that if the site ownership is changing and the site content is also changing, Google may be looking at that and not giving you as much value on that. So you may want to, I mean, a good suggestion would be to keep the site content the same as much as possible and slowly over time change the content if you have to.
Right, so you don't shock the system, I guess, so they don't see a dramatic change off the bat.
Exactly.
And another thing I heard about and that we've talked about over previous shows with Google is that Google is also looking at the length of time in which one registers a domain name. So one-year registrations don't count as much as multi-year registrations. Actually, I heard over 3 years now is something that Google's looking at, which...
Right.
Gives them
and again,
an indication
those are stuff
in
that's in their
haul.
Patent, but nobody knows for certain if they're actually being used or not.
Right, no one knows for certain. But I guess what we're hearing is that if they see that a domain name is registered for more than 1 year, that they see that you're in it for the long haul, that you're going to be around for a while, and therefore you're worth crawling and having, you know, some kind of value to the system.
Right, exactly. And but I would guess it would be a very small factor into the rankings because,
yeah,
you know, our own websites, a lot of our own websites, we only register once a year, and, you know, we own a lot of sites that rank well. And,
right, right.
If it's a factor, it's going to be a very small factor.
Right, yeah, it's one of their 110
right,
different factors. That
exactly.
That there are. So how do you decide, I mean, how do you do your ROI when you're going to buy an expired domain name or a new domain name on the web? I mean, you talked about, you know, measuring the backlinks and seeing if it's in DMOS and Yahoo and has a page rank and all that stuff, but what kind of calculations do you guys do in order to make sure that it's a good investment? What do you use as your baseline?
Yeah, the main thing is if it's got a page rank, anything more than a page rank 2 is good, but we also have to consider the backlinks. If it's a page rank 5 and it's only got one or two backlinks, then, you know, it's very possible these backlinks could be lost, you know, a few months down the road. So that those are all factors. But if you've got a page rank 5 and you got at least 100 backlinks, then that's a good domain to get.
Right.
So you have to not only look at the page rank, but also look at the backlinks. If it doesn't have a page rank because maybe Google already zeroed the page rank, then you want to look at the backlinks and decide if you want to, you know, take a chance on the investment because it's going to help you as far as traffic, and maybe an MSN and Yahoo might be a help.
Right, right, right. Now, what are some of the? What's the highest price you've ever paid for a domain name, both in the back order system and maybe on the open market?
Probably around $800.
Oh, okay. So not a whole lot then.
No, and that was because the domain was relevant to sites that we were interested in the category that we were interested in.
And what's the best deal? I guess one domain name that you've registered from scratch and you've turned into success, I guess, would be your best deal, right?
Yeah, I mean, best deal would be the minimum prices at Pool and NameWinner. I think NameWinner starts at $30 and Pool is $60.
Right.
So best deals would be those around $30 to $60 that, you know. And sometimes, actually, I have registered domains that the previous owners have come back and said, oh, we want the site back, and I turn around and sell them anywhere from $300 to about $1,000.
Right, right.
So, you know, sometimes you make quick money back on this also. And especially sometimes, you know, I don't necessarily check the trademarks, if they're trademarks when I register them, but once in a while someone will come and say, that's our trademark that you registered. And, you know, I mean, it's going to take them, if they want to file a ICANN UDRP against you to get the domain back, it's going to cost them at least $1,500. So I'll turn around and give them a price less than that, say maybe $500. Say, hey, you can have the domain now, $500. Do you want it or not? Most of the time, they'll agree to buy it from you.
Right, right. Yeah, it's a good strategy with those types of names. So let's talk a little bit about Submit Express and how one would engage with your services and basically how do you guys work. So if somebody wants to engage with Submit Express, walk us through some of the services you provide and how someone can help get their website in all the search engines by using your service.
Well, our main service is natural search engine optimization, and what we do with that is main thing is site optimization, content writing, and say they have a graphics-based website, and you know search engines can't read graphics, so they're gonna have to do some content writing in order to get that site up. So we help them with the content. We have content writers in-house that will do content from scratch. And the second thing we do is link popularity. And with the links, we'll do link exchange service for them. We'll do directory submissions. And text link advertising also is a big thing that a lot of companies are offering nowadays. And with the text link advertising, basically, you're purchasing links on related sites that already have PageRank. And you have to be careful with some of the strategies, but, you know, as long as you're on relevant sites, then you have nothing to worry about.
Okay. So, and what kind of, how do you charge for your service?
Well, we have a set-up fee, and we have a monthly fee. It's usually based on many factors, such as if their site is dynamic or static, if it's primary graphics based or not, depending on how much content writing they need, depending on how competitive the keywords are. At the minimum, I would say our fees will start at about $2,500 setup and $750 a month. But again, it depends how competitive they are and various other factors.
Okay. And how many clients do you guys have?
We currently have over 400 clients.
400 clients?
Yeah, 400 SEO clients, but we do have submission services on our site, just regular submission services that, I'm not considering those into the count, but we get tens of orders a day on those.
And obviously you've had a lot of success with your clients, and do you give any kind of guarantees in terms of what you can, what you can get them ranked in? And
Yeah, we're actually one of the only companies, one of the few companies that provide guarantees, and the way our guarantee works is we'll usually guarantee a percentage of their keywords to be top 10 in the major search engines. So it's not, guaranteeing every single keyword is going to be top 10, or it's also not applicable to competitive keywords, but normally we work with at least 30 keywords for each website, and we're going to guarantee that a percentage of them will get in the top 10 or will provide some kind of a refund if they don't. And I've heard various companies out there saying, if a company is providing a guarantee, that's not good, and you got to be careful. They don't know what they're doing because nobody can guarantee results. Even Google says that on their website. If people are providing guarantee, be careful. But, I'll just say it's a BS, because if they're not providing a guarantee, that's the people you got to watch out for, Why are they not providing a guarantee? If they really know what they're doing, then they know what they can guarantee. I mean, we've been in business for, over 7 years now, and we know what we can guarantee and what we can't. So obviously the guarantee is not going to work for everybody. Casino sites and adult sites, we don't even do. But, if it's any other industry, we can probably provide some kind of a guarantee.
That's great. Yeah, so that's nice to know. So to get in touch with you and your service, what's the best way? Just come to the website, or you want somebody to send, a specific email somewhere?
Just go through our website, call up the numbers or email, and I'm the president here, and you can contact me directly if you like, ask for me. And if anybody does contact us for our services, mentions that they heard me on the radio, they'll get a 10% discount.
Oh, great. So 10% discount to anybody that's listening. If you contact submitexpress.com and email Pierre or any of his staff.
Yeah, and my email is just pierre@submitexpress.com. I'll put that in the chat room also right now.
Okay, great. Any last tips or tricks that we haven't talked about that can really help out the listening audience and help them be better on the web, better SEO, stable on the web, or just plain better in business in general?
With the domain names, again, just if people own several domain names that have similar content, that's one of the main things they have to be careful. This duplicate content stuff was not so big a few years back. It's something new, and people have to be careful. And a lot of people coming to us for signing up our services, that's one of the biggest problems we're seeing these days, that duplicate content is a problem. And they may not realize it, but somebody else may have stolen their content. And just because somebody else stole their content and maybe they had more links and higher page rank, their site starts suffering because of that. And one of the ways to check for duplicate content, there's a good site out there. It's called copyscape.com, and it's copyscape.com. I'll post that in the chat room also. If you put your domain name in there, and it will bring up other websites that have similar contents to yours. Another way is just to basically take a sentence from your website, put it in quotation marks, and type it in Google. That will give you any other websites that have that exact sentence on their website. We actually found that a lot of people had copied our own website. We've been around since, 97, 98, and a lot of people had copied our information. But we actually didn't end up suffering because we were first and we had a high page rank on our own website. But that's something to watch out for.
Great. Well, Pierre, it's been a pleasure talking to you and a pleasure having you on my show. And again, I want to remind everybody, if you want a great company to engage with for, if you would like a great company to engage with for your SEO needs, go to submitexpress.com, contact Pierre, you get a 10% discount. Just mention Domain Masters or the Webmaster Radio broadcast, and he'll take care of you. Pierre,
all
thanks
right.
a lot for
thanks
being on the show tonight.
Looking forward to seeing you again, and take care of that back problem.
And we look, yeah, thank you. And we look forward to working with you, too.
All right.
Okay, take care. All right, folks, we'll be on with Raymond and Michael from GEI, and get a good idea of this multifaceted company that helps businesses turn around and be successful and their domain name strategy. Stay tuned. We'll be on in a couple minutes.
You're just minutes away from more Domain Masters.
Be master of your domain.
Stay tuned.
Tracks, all new version 6. Prepare to segment your visitors and build custom reports on the fly with the most comprehensive and intuitive
web analytics programs on the planet.
Dan Noyes, president of Zephoria.com, writes, ClickTracks is like a religion to us. We rarely consult our clients on-site or campaign changes without first seeing what ClickTracks reveals. Sign up for your free trial today. Your only risk, you may end up in our next commercial. ClickTracks.com, turning your future into a fortune.
Here you go.
Who are these people?
Your customers.
Customers?
Yep. See, now that you're sharing all your media files through p2padz.com, you know, like your MP3s, video files, software, pictures.
Yeah.
And advertising all your sites through our global peer-to-peer network.
Get to the point.
Well, we're able to bring millions of your fellow surfers, basically, right to your front door.
For more details, visit us at p2padz.com. p2padz.com. Expose yourself.
Once a tool used exclusively for communicating with the media, PR Web was the first company to develop a distribution strategy around direct-to-consumer communication by implementing Web 2.0 technologies. PR Web has completed the online communication loop by directly engaging your audience with your news. For example, PR Web is the first newswire to integrate press release trackback. Whether you want to dominate your market or just make a little noise, PR Web is here to help. You thrive in the marketplace and the media. PR Web.
Raising your ad inventory profits to the next level today is as simple as XY7.com, the only affiliate network giving you top payouts daily. Plus, you'll enjoy over 100 fresh high-converting offers, your own XY7.com debit card, good anywhere, and true 24/7 dedicated support. Our affiliate managers even sleep with their BlackBerries. So why run your ads anywhere else? Let your site work harder for you today with XY7.com, so you won't have to.
A rose by any other name would still be the same.
Move over, Shakespeare.
You need to differentiate yourself from your competition. Do it by aligning yourself with a company who has earned the trust of Jupiter Media, the NHL, and Lionsgate Films, among others. Moniker.com is the most secure ICANN-accredited register on the planet, offering you domain registration, hosting, domain sales, and acquisition services. Wrap that up with 24/7 support. That's your winning combination. Moniker.com. More than a name.
$6.2 million, $4 billion, $6 million.
Been just kicking ass with domain names.
Monty.
And what's been your highest domain name sale? How much money was it for?
It was approximately $144,000.
About $150,000.
That's right.
Okay, great.
You have had eBay buy rent.com and shopping.com for a combined $1.4 billion.
Monty. BDD, the master of your domain.
Literally probably 90 days after buying it for $80,000, Interbrew bought it for $7 million.
We appraised the property and helped get it sold for $3.4 million. It was the most valuable asset that they had, $6 million or $10 million on a domain name. When we sold autos.com for $2.2 million, people thought it was nuts too.
Domain Masters, only on Webmaster Radio.
Be the master of your domain.
Domain Masters. Now, here's your host.
Hello, welcome back to Domain Masters. Again, I want to thank my first guest, Pierre at Summit Express, for being my first guest and having a great interview. And again, everybody can get a 10% discount by mentioning Domain Masters and Webmaster Radio when you email him. My next guests are Raymond Rashford and Michael Marshall. They are both directors and executives for GEI, which is George Enterprise International. This company is a venture firm which is very strong in the technology. They own a portfolio of 1,700 names, and they really gear their strategy around securing the proper domain name and then applying SEO to those domain names due to the competitive nature and the competitive environment and industry that we're in. Raymond and Michael, you on?
Yeah, we're here.
Hey, great. Well, great thank you very much for taking the time to be on Domain Masters today.
Well, sure. Thank you for inviting us.
So why don't you guys give me a little bit of background. Raymond, why don't you start? Give me a little bit of background about yourself, how you got into the business a little bit, and then we'll ask Michael the same, and then we'll talk a little bit about your business and then your domain strategy.
Sure. A little bit of background. I got a Bachelor of Science from San Diego State in electrical engineering. I got an MBA also from the same university in marketing and finance. Been in the whole finance in public investment capital side of banking for quite a few years. And, a couple of years ago decided to kind of look over the venture side of things because they seem to have a lot more fun about it.
Right.
And that's how I got into GEI. And when I got into GEI, the main thing is it's a venture firm with a strong technology base. Everything we do here is based on technology. Whether or not it has a different specific industry, that's where we start from. And from there is where I learned the whole thing about SEO and domain names and really turning it into if you want to call it into some variable cash. That not only can you grow your life and your business with, but also you can use to also, to help other people also to help you grow. It's a pretty unique strategies that we use.
That's great. And Michael, how about you?
My background is specifically in the IT industry. I've been in the industry for about 17 years, mostly as a software developer, and more recently in the last several years also in search marketing. I've been doing everything from web design setup, e-commerce setup, desktop development, internet development, and more recently also involved in artificial intelligence.
Now, when you say artificial intelligence, what does that mean?
That means like neural networks, natural language processing, quantitative analysis, the whole nine yards.
Okay, great. And you're also a contributing author to SEO Today, correct?
Yes. Yes.
Great. Great. Well, your company intrigues me a bit because you're one of the few venture groups that actually are dedicated, I guess, to turning around small businesses and making them successful, and then really building a strategy around acquiring the right domain name and then building out the right SEO platform for that domain name. Is that correct?
That's correct. It's kind of funny how we opted to go down the strategy. It's purely by accident. Our CEO of the company actually is started from when they wanted to go on vacation back quite a few years ago, back in the early 90s, and right around this whole web thing started, and they couldn't afford it, so they decided to, if they couldn't afford it, to kind of sit down and see what opportunities were out there, and the web was just starting to build, and they looked at what major companies were out there and what people were looking for and what they thought they could build domain name wise specific way back in the late 90s, and build a very successful company off of that, and we've used that strategy ever since then. It's been working really well for us.
Now, you've acquired some 1,700 domain names. Now, obviously, you don't have 1,700 companies you're working with, so give us a little bit about the domain strategy and why there are so many domain names.
Sure. One of the things we found, and I read an article earlier about people who own hundreds of thousands of domains, and they bring in a couple million, and I think people probably be surprised because, that's a good strategy, but I think, you don't have to think that wide. We only... relatively somewhere about 1,700, 2,000 what we do, but we've been able to build a multi-million dollar revenue companies off that of domain. And the real strategy at the end of the day is, it's keeping it real world. You think about what are people looking for, and what name can you attach to that. You can also think about the great thing about capitalism is not really trying to reinvent it. Things that work, but also copying it. So you think about things, people, what are people looking for? Give you an idea, Mike created a tool which originally was called Themaster, but now it's called OptiRanker. And with that tool, not only can you can take a look at what people are searching for or looking for, where customers want or what their needs are, but you can also look and see, well, how really scientific is it? How specific is it? How are people really looking for this? Are people really going on the net looking for this? And if I want to get into this space, how easy or hard it is to get into it? And just purely using those strategies and a little bit of a little bit of luck and of course science, we've been able to build some really successful companies and get some really great revenues purely from domain names.
Now, this OptiRanker system, is this something that's available to the public?
Yes, it is.
How would you go access this? Is that optiranker.com? Or?
That is correct. If you go to www.optiranker.com, you'd be able to take a look and go ahead. We have a demo on there, so you can also take it for a free ride. It used to be called Themaster. What happened is we fell in love with the product about 2 years ago, and it worked so well for us successfully that we decided to buy it and bring it out to the general public and say, hey, look, you've take the guesswork of optimizing and really you want to know what people are looking for, here it is.
Right. Now, and this tells you what specifically? I know you covered a couple things here. So does it give you behavioral intelligence around what people are really looking for when they type in a specific word? Or, give me a little bit more detail about how OptiRanker works.
Well, I'll let Mike, who invented this, give you a little bit more about that.
Basically what it does is it helps you to write quality content that will convince the search engines that your page really is about the key phrase that you're targeting. If you look at a key phrase as your focal point for your optimization, OptiRanker is going to give you supporting terms to add to your content. It's also going to help you if you're looking for link partners to score them based on how relevant they are to any particular key phrase, because it's not just important to have a high quantity of backlinks, but you need quality of backlinks. Another way of putting it is it's not just link popularity, but it's link reputation that is important.
Right. So, yeah, it's not a matter of how many links you have, but that the links that you have are relevant to your links so that you're not just linking all over the universe.
Right. And instead of having to guess whether or not something is relevant or go on a hunch, you can approach it scientifically and actually get a measured score for which pages of content or which prospective link partners or more are more or less relevant.
I see.
To what you're targeting.
That sounds very cool.
Yeah, it is.
So you, on your domain strategy then, with the 1,700 names that you guys have acquired, have you bought those names in the aftermarket, registered them from scratch, a combination of that? Give me a little bit of information about how you've acquired your domain portfolio, what it's currently being used for. Are you monetizing it? Are you building out every single domain? Is it a protective strategy to, take a main brand and then cover it with misspellings and other types of mistypes, that kind of stuff?
Yeah, our main strategy is it's probably everything we've had. You know, we've registered it from scratch. I think you know your previous personal segment, you know, hit the nail on the head when it said, you know, if you're really going to sit there and try to wait around and get a name that's already been registered, you know, it's like a shot in the dark. You know, because I mean, with this whole global world market, you're probably competing against God knows how many amount of people. So we typically go from the strategy where we register it from scratch. What we tend to do is, you know, we kind of put an idea together, and we think about, you know, what we think people, when we're looking at a company or a domain name, we think about what people are looking for. And then we look at all the big boys in the industry, and we kind of go through and see what they've registered and what they've missed. And believe it or not, usually they're so busy with, you know, really trying to think of so much real world that they miss a lot of what we call the low-hanging fruits. And, you know, that's where we come in. We look at a lot of the little low-hanging fruits and what's out there, and then we run it through our software and really see, you know, what's the space is like now, and people are really searching for it, how busy it is, how, you know, what's the real kind of general traffic. And from there, we've been able to, you know, put together, you know, quite a bit of portfolio and bring in some good revenue for us.
Okay, great. Now, one of the things you guys specialize in also is you guys are also a venture firm, and so you're investing in companies. And basically, it looks like you're investing in companies that maybe on that maybe have a lot of potential, but are on the downturn, like heading the wrong way, where you think you can infuse some capital and maybe use your technology and your knowledge and your experience to turn those companies around. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yes.
So, give us some insight about what the typical mistakes that people make in their businesses that cause a good idea to head south, and also tell us what kind of things that you guys do to help them turn around that business and help it go north.
Sure. One of the first things usually typical when I get into a business is they most businesses think too large for their customers. They kind of cut the customers out of it, and they kind of focus a lot more when you look at profitability and growing. And one of the key things I've always learned is, you know, you never want to sacrifice growth over profitability. You know, becoming big is not the key thing. It's actually, you know, what do you bring home at the end of the day is the most important thing. And, you know, it's always a thing where, you know, important lesson I can always tell, you know, most businesses I walk into is, like, keep it simple and keep it real world. You know, think about it. If you're a customer, what are you looking for? You know, if you're thinking about really sitting down there and for example, you know, if you're thinking about buying Walmart, why would you buy Walmart? You know, why would you invest in a Walmart? What sense does it make? And try to think of it from that point of view. Why would you walk into the door to buy that product? And if you wouldn't walk into the door there to buy the product, then why would you even open that business or invest in that business? And, you know, you find a lot. You get a lot of answers that you already know. Just, you know, people tend to fly off and know many different things, and we kind of just rein them in and bring them back down to earth, and that's usually why we start turning around a company.
So, I mean, how do you evaluate which companies? I mean, are people presenting, coming to you and presenting to them their businesses? Are you seeking out companies that you think have good ideas, and then you're presenting back to them how you think you can turn it around, and then, you know, kind of take over the reins?
Sure. We do both. We both do go out and seek actively good ideas and companies out there, but we also have a lot of companies and that come to us and present us with their ideas and so on and so forth.
And how many companies do you have in your portfolio right now?
Right now we have, I believe we have 10 portfolio companies in right now. We have more than that, but some of them we don't publicly say who they are.
Okay, and what is the smallest investment that you make in a company, and what's the largest?
The smallest investment we've made into a company, probably, around $100,000. The largest investment is we're actually involved right now in one that's in the billions, I should say, but we haven't exactly invested that much, but that's how much it's projected out to be.
You mean of your investment, of your organization's investment over time?
Yes, over time.
That's
tremendous.
Mm-hmm. You cannot mention who that is, or you
no, can't. I can't.
Oh, okay. That's great. So,
I can't.
So
there's no information about it on our site, but we do reference a little bit to it.
Right. So you guys cater towards some of the small mom and pop or smaller companies. I had Ari Bain and Doug on from Page Mill Partners and Milbank Roy, and they're more of a $1 million higher and up to engage with the company. So you guys will look at smaller opportunities and try to help companies that need that spurt or need that experience that you guys have to get off the ground.
Yeah, we definitely do. It's one of the great things about the whole internet market. It's really brought globalization down to a very small level. And and that's actually allowed the small mom and pops to relatively compete, with the big mom and pops. So, you really find that the key to success between a small company and a large company is what they don't know. And the first things we do is we try to educate the small mom and pops of what they don't know, and usually that's the difference.
Right, right. And when you come in and take care of a company, I guess you're looking at helping them on all fronts, not only from the investment side, but with Michael's experience and knowledge, you're getting well into SEO and optimization and design and engineering and e-commerce and all kinds of other stuff as well, right?
That's correct. I mean, we get into the whole nine yards from top to bottom, from finance all the way to optimization. And it's at the end of the day, it comes down to brand recognition. You could build the most successful company to yourself and to everybody who's involved, but if people don't know you're out there, and if people aren't looking for you, if people don't recognize your brand, it's not going to make a difference. So that's where the whole domain name kind of comes in place. So it's actually the first thing you really think of before you even go out there and try to market your company.
Right. So give me like the top, four or five things that people need to do to be the most successful they can be, knowing what you know today and the companies that you've invested in. If you're a small startup or even a company that's been around for a couple of years but just hasn't gotten the recognition or the popularity that it really needs to go, I mean, give us some key things that are really important that maybe people don't know about, or maybe some people do know about, but give us a couple secrets that you guys come in and do right away that really help boost the business up.
Sure. The first thing you learn, that I've learned in when you take a look at a business and marketing, getting the name out there, is you do whatever is free first. And believe it or not, not only is it the cheapest way, but it's also probably I'd have to give more voice to it more than anything else. And I'm currently working with a company where I've actually taken $0 in budget-wise for probably like the last 6 months and created quite a voice. Done. It sounds pretty crazy, but I've done it. So I always tell people, you do what's free first. Whenever you take a look at your business, you want to grow your business. The second thing after that is keep it simple. Whenever you face with problems, whenever you're faced with growth, just plain and simple. Keep it simple. Don't make it too overcomplicated. And the other key thing also is I would also say, for businesses out there, is never think that. That you have to sacrifice growth over revenues. It's actually the other way around. You can always get revenues. Growth, you can totally control. You don't have to grow to make revenues. And that's probably one of the big misconceptions most businesses do. One of the things that really hurt my ears when I walk into a business, and a lot, this usually tends to, like restaurants or even a lot of online sale companies, they think, if we can just get another 1,000 clients to purchase, that'll be fine. But I said, well, okay, you get another 1,000 clients, and then what's your cost to go with it? And they add it all up, and like, yeah, that doesn't make sense. So I said, then why do you want to grow another 1,000 clients just to be further in debt, so on and so forth? Change that frame of thinking. Put profit as the first line of business. Figure if you want to make 10% profit this year, fine. Then make 10% profit, and then use the rest of the 90% to run your business, and that's how it should be done.
Oh, that's good points. Now, Michael, with your SEO experience, I mean, you've not only been a contributing author to SEO Today, but you're also participated in building your business with Google for Dummies, which
right.
is a Brad Hill publication. And you obviously are well sought after in workshops and speaking engagements. What are the key things from an SEO standpoint that people may not know about that you should focus on?
Okay, I can answer that question, but I can't give you the secret sauce, of course.
Well, you need to give us some secret sauce, because we're all about helping people who are listening be better on the web, and what we try to do is help the whole industry grow at the same time. So
right.
if we make the industry stronger, it's good for all of us, because that means we're all going to have more business and be able to do business with each other. So give us some of the secret sauce, because it's really important that people do know, what's going to make them successful that other people don't really know about.
Right.
Give me a little bit of sugar.
A little bit, okay.
Okay.
Well, it's you probably noticed on my on their bio, or probably on the GEI site, that one of the portfolio companies of GEI is Fortune Interactive.
Yes.
And I'm the VP of technology there, and we've got a lot of experience between the management team of that company, and we have discovered some common threads as we came together of things that a lot of people overlook. Some of them are very simple. For example, the first thing, pretty much what everybody should know, is that the most important first step in search marketing is choosing the right key phrases. Most people know that that's important. A lot of people don't know precisely how to go about it. And you have to think that through carefully. If you don't, then everything else you do is going to be for naught. So you need to compile together as many keyword research tools and methods as you possibly can, so that you can have confidence that what you're doing at this foundational level is exactly what you should be doing. It will save you a lot of sleepless nights later of looking back wondering if you started off on the right foot.
And what are some of those keyword phrase tools that people should be using?
I would say probably the two most important will probably be Word Tracker and Keyword Discovery.
Okay, so Word Tracker and Keyword Discovery. Okay, good.
Right. And you really need to spend your time with those tools. A lot of people get into them and they use them for like a few minutes, but you really need to dig deep into both those tools.
And they'll shine some or allow you to see some things that you may not have seen before.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
And then once you've targeted your key phrases, there are a couple of things that you need to keep in mind. There's one thing I'll mention is with respect to off-page factors with backlinks, it's important to remember that on-page factors are important. Off-page factors are also important, but with off-page factors, link popularity and link reputation are the two things that you want to target. It is often, and I've seen this a lot, is often overlooked. What a lot of people think is if they just get more and more and more links, they'll be fine. But I've seen pages where they're off page. As far as their off-page factors, they may have as few as 300 or 400 backlinks, and they are outranking pages with over 100,000 backlinks. They may have a page rank of 4, and they're outranking pages with page ranks of 7 and 8. And I will tell
you because their backlinks are more relevant.
Yes, it has to do with the relevancy of their backlinks and the relevancy of their content. Now, the difficult thing is it's becoming more and more difficult to figure out what's going on as far as how search engine is measuring relevancy. You know, it used to be as simple as, you know, get your key phrase, figure out the optimal keyword density, and you're fine. But those days are long gone. Another thing that is going to make things very difficult, you may hear some search marketers talking about this, and that is the impact of personalization. One important aspect of search engine marketing is pretty much reverse engineering, right? You do a search, you look at the search results, you try to reverse engineer the top-ranked pages to see, okay, what are they doing, right, that
right.
makes this page number 7 as opposed to number 15, that kind of thing. Well, with the as the adoption rate of personalization picks up, that's going to be snatched from under you because you are no longer going to trust what you see in the rankings. Because when
right.
you do a search, the ranking order that you see may be only about 20% of what everyone else sees. 80% of the other people looking at that same search see a totally different ranking order, and you can't know which percentage you're in, whether you're in the 20% or the 80%. Now, when I tell that to people, I've told that to people in seminars, they typically get scared.
Right,
And they figure out, well, what do we do? What do we do? Well, the answer is both simple and complicated. The simple answer is you have to go back to the basics. And by basics, I don't mean SEO basics. I mean marketing basics. And that is you have to it's kind of like flying an airplane, and you're in a storm, so you can't look out the window anymore. You have to fly by instruments only. And what you have to do is go back to the basics of figuring out what makes sense marketing-wise. Who are you targeting? What do they want? How do you write content to grab their attention? And the complicated part of it is figuring out how to grab their attention. That's one of the things that we focus on at Fortune Interactive with regard to the technology that we have called SimLogic. The adoption rate is picking up. We talk with people all the time, and they're saying they're noticing lots of changes, lots of differences in what they see in a search result. And it's not a reason for people in the industry to panic. It's going to actually reward those who put hard work into developing high-quality content. Because no matter who's searching for what you have and what their preferences are, if you've got high-quality content, you're going to be put in front of them. Because there's one principle about search engines that you must always keep in mind. Instead of algorithm chasing and trying to figure out what little tweak that Google or Yahoo or MSN do this month or next month or that kind of thing, you need to go back to the basics, and that is a search engine has one of their primary roles as delivering fresh and relevant content to their users. They will always have to do that. And as long as you wrap your marketing approach and your strategy around that, you can't go wrong.
Great. Now, tell me some of the secret sauce now, Michael.
The secret sauce. The secret sauce that I would tell you about would be actually in our technology, SimLogic. Now, I'll tell you what it does without giving you everything.
Okay. Well, give me as much as you can.
Okay. One of the things that's important is trying to figure out how a search engine determines relevancy, right? And one of the things that you have to do is understand how the search engines are measuring that. Now, each search engine has their own little way of doing it, but it all boils down to natural language processing. When you figure out what content is relevant to a key phrase and what content isn't relevant to a key phrase, it has mostly to do with the supporting terms, the context that's built around the key phrase. And then there's also that same dimension for off-page factors. What is the structure and nature of the content of your link partners? And you want those to meld together. You need to think of your link partners really as an extension of your web page.
So not only check out their links, but really check out who they are, make sure that they're good, sound foundation, company,
yep.
And basically know them?
Yes, basically
okay.
Know them. It won't do just to go out and start buying links, right? In fact, that will probably hurt you in the long run. You need to find legitimate link partners. This is the way that I put it. If that page wouldn't be a good company to partner with to bring you business, then they probably wouldn't be a good web page to link to you. If they would be thinking in real world, brick and mortar type mindset, if they would be a good business to partner up with to bring you business and you could bring them business, then you should be linking to each other.
I see.
And if you think in those terms, then you'll be on the right footing. And the secret to getting over the impact of personalization, one of the parts of the secret sauce is figuring out for a particular search engine what the important metrics are that they're measuring. And what you have to do, it's a lot of work, you have to compare every page against each other on all those metrics so that you can get the right combination.
Right, and that can be complicated because Yahoo obviously looks at different things than
yep.
Google, and they look at different things than MSN, and
yes.
get that secret sauce right, it's complicated. So
right.
how does
and
one manage that when they're all a little bit different, but they have some of the core foundation stuff the same?
Well, how do you manage it?
Well, I mean, if you're trying to, I mean, obviously you don't want to try to satisfy Google because they're the biggest or the best or whatever. I mean, Yahoo
right.
is almost just as important, but they measure different things than Google does.
Right.
How do you get a page just right so you're up in both of them at the same time?
What you have to do is do a blending of it. There are a number of things. There are two approaches. One is to decide, okay, what I want to do is try to target all three. So you figure out for each one what's going to be the optimal combination of features to please them, and then you try to figure out what is the intersection between those three or four, and try to give a kind of a generic approach that will please the most and not offend any as far as the combination of your metrics. The other thing to do, and this actually makes more business sense, is to find out about the demographics of the particular search engines, what type of people are more likely to use Google or Yahoo or MSN, figure out how that lines up with your business strategy and what you're selling. You can also look at your web log, look at the access, and figure out from the search engine traffic that you have, where does most of your traffic come from? If you find out that 70% of your traffic comes from Yahoo, that's who you need to be targeting.
I see, yeah.
Right? So
that's a simple, stupid approach, but yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. Exactly.
But a lot of people don't even do that. You know, they don't even figure out where their traffic's coming from. So.
Right. And there are some people who go out there and they figure, well, we'll design three pages for each, or they start sticking these, you know, doorway pages out there to draw in traffic. And that's a lot to maintain as far as a search marketing strategy. It's a lot of overhead, and typically it gets you into trouble later on.
Right.
You end up running the risk of having duplicate content and all kinds of things like that. You got to figure out if you're trying, if you know that linking is important, and you've got three pages, one for each search engine or four, one for each search engine you're targeting, you know, you've got to double the backlinks or triple or quadruple the number of backlinks you got pointing in.
Right. Now, how complicated does the coming of the new ask.com search engine play into this? Are they the same or similar, or have their own set of rules and regulations? And how are you guys planning for that? Do you think they're going to be a force to be reckoned with, or do you think it's going to be
They are. I think they're going to have their own set of algorithms, just like, you know, anyone else would. They've got to do that, otherwise they kind of become a commodity. They become a duplicate of someone else.
Right.
And people figure, well, why go there? I can go here instead. So they're going to have that. Our technology that we use at Fortune Interactive, it doesn't really matter what search engine you want to target. It doesn't matter at all. It can handle any search engine and figure out how you can rise above your competition regardless of which search engine that you're focusing on.
Oh, I see. So Fortune Interactive is in the business of addressing this particular opportunity, I guess, and
yes,
having something that's search engine optimized across the whole entire, you know, internet platform.
Yes. Right.
And Monty, and OptiRanker also, it's a little bit different, but can give you same kind of particular results. A lot of time people give us questions of what's the difference between OptiRanker and Fortune Interactive. And I would say for people out there who want to learn more, have got the time, and want to develop more of the SEO strategy and keep it kind of in-house, that's where you look at the OptiRanker company and product that they have. It's a tremendous amount of resources and results they give it to you. And it's the same thing. It's across all the search engines. And we're Fortune Interactive. They use more comprehensive studies, but a lot of it, their technology, what they and how their process work is in-house. You know, obviously. So, you know, Fortune Interactive is more a company that's geared more towards the self-sustaining, you know, Fortune 1000 companies who out there who, you know, don't specifically know the space, where OptiRanker is more of the company who's more for the small to medium-sized kind of business owner who do have the time or want to get into the space and learn a little bit more how to compete with the big boys.
Right, and Fortune Interactive is really a full-service internet marketing agency. Everything from searches and marketing to the paid search, online reputation management, blogging. We provide a whole litany of services.
Okay, great. Well, those are some great tools, and I like the unique approach, and it sounds like you're covering the most important aspects of what everybody struggles with every day.
Yes. Yep. You know, one thing I do want to say to your listeners is I read an article earlier about a pretty successful guy in the whole domain space, and I think he brings in about $20 million in revenues. I think it says he owns about 100,000 domains. And, you know, I thought, oh, that's pretty impressive. But, you know, one thing, I don't know if you call this a secret or not, but I'll tell people, you can see that the market, you know, goes a lot into, you know, you look at your domain name, it's more about just about a name, but also, you know, what is your product or service and how can you describe it, and what are people looking for? As Mike said earlier, you can use Word Tracker and kind of really get that, and then you can use OptiRanker to see if the results are really true. But to everybody out there who thinks that this space is pretty crowded and can't get in there, I will tell you that right now we have a company that we get about $20 million in revenues purely off just really going through a domain name and applying an SEO strategy to it and just leaving it and not doing a whole lot to it. So it's still out there. You just got to put a little bit of work into it.
That's great. That's great. Well, it's been a real pleasure having you both on the show, and I think a lot of people picked up a lot of helpful tips and hints. Now, what's the best way to contact you guys and get engaged in case one of the listeners has an idea that they've already got off the ground and they want some investment, or they want to engage with your organization? What's the best way to contact you guys?
Sure. You can, if people want to learn a little bit more about GEI and venture fund and companies, you can go to georgeei.com. So it's GEORGEEI.com. Or you can also visit OptiRanker.com or FortuneInteractive.com. But probably GEORGEI is probably the best people to get into and take a look.
So it's GEORGEI.com?
I'm sorry?
GEORGEI.com?
That's correct, GEORGEI.com. And they have support emails and so on and so forth. And if you send an email to support or contact, OptiRank, for example, and say, you know, you listen to Webmaster Radio or you're interested in getting a spot, we've actually just launched a new site and new features and everything else where we're giving people a whole day free so they can go ahead and take a spin and see what the software can do for them. And all you have to do is contact support, and we'll send you that discount code so you can get a whole day's free.
Great, great. Well, thank you guys, Michael and Raymond, for being on the show. And I understand we're going to be doing some business together from Moniker, and we're real excited about it. And you guys are the type of people that we want to do business with. So hopefully that helps both of our backlinks, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, well, thank you very much for being on the show, and we'll be in touch very soon.
Great, thank you.
All right.
Okay, great. Well, that wraps up. Sorry I ran a little bit late, folks, but that wraps up another great Domain Masters. Next week, of course, we'll be live again. We're going to start covering some of the upcoming trade show and conferences that are just around the corner, and start to interview some of the folks that are running those trade shows. We have the Ecom Expo, and I had John Grosshandler on last week to talk about that virtual trade show, which is great. We have Webmaster World coming up, Domain Name Roundtable, Traffic West in Las Vegas, Ad Tech, all kinds of stuff going on. So we're going to have all kinds of live coverage and interviews and great guests and great people that can help us all learn something from being successful with our domain names and our websites and SEO strategy. So definitely be online over the next several weeks. And whether I'm still out with this back injury, I will promise to do a live show if I'm in bed or in my office or out on the road. So we'll be happy. We're happy to serve that need for you. With that, I'm going to end up the show. I want everybody to have a great week, and we'll see you next week live on Domain Masters, same time, same place. Be the master of your domain. Take care.